Oh, those disciples. I love this little story for all kinds of reasons, not least of which it reminds me so much of, well, so many things that have happened in my life one way or another. Where you have James and John, two of the disciples, coming to Jesus. And in the New International Version, it says, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." And every time I read that, it reminds me of my nephew when he was little. He now has children of his own, so don't worry, I'll make sure that his kids know about this story too. When he was little, he used to come up to us and say, "Don't say no." What? At which point he'd say, "Don't say no," and then he'd go and play with the knives in the knife block or something like that. And we'd say, "No, Graham, stop." At which point he'd say, "I told you not to say no," and cry. Makes perfect sense when you're two. It's a little bit less attractive, I think, as an adult, and that's what we see here. At least that's what I've always taken this to be, is that the disciples are almost trying to trick Jesus into giving them something that, as it turns out, he can't give them. And as we go down, we then hit the part that really hits with us, because when the other 10 hear this, they were indignant. Of course they were indignant. I was indignant the first time I heard this story. What's the big idea? Asking for something without saying what it is, wanting to get approval before you've even put in your request. I'd be indignant as well. And Jesus, because he's pretty sure that the reason why these people are indignant isn't so much at the effrontery of John and James, but perhaps that they're going to get something that the rest of the disciples wouldn't get, or maybe even that they didn't think of doing this themselves. And so Jesus then brings in one of his most important teachings, I think. And he puts it in a way that is really going to get their attention. Once again, there's variations in translations. And in this translation, Jesus says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Jesus begins this process of helping them to understand what it means to be in the kingdom of God by picking not just a worldly, if you will, example, but the worst one he could pick, because he didn't have to pick Gentiles. As we saw in our Hebrews reading, the Jewish people had a sense of hierarchy. He could have said that in the same way that you have high priests who tell other priests what to do. No, he picked the Gentiles. He picked a group of people that the Jews looked down on and said, "Look, that's what they do. And that's what you want to do. You want to become like someone that you don't even respect in any way, shape, or form. Because you just don't get it at all." The sermon title comes from what our initial response is, at least for most of us, to the idea of service or being a servant. No one wants to be a servant, do they? People who want to be a servant, they're people who just don't have any ambition. People who want to serve others are those who just prefer to be walked on with the unstated rather than doing the walking. The whole idea of being a servant or being of service or in service has got a bit of a bad rap in our culture. And that's too bad. Because what Jesus says is that if you want to be anything in the areas that really matter, you need to be ready to serve. You need to be someone who does serve, not just when you're forced to, but because of who you are. So why do people not want to be a servant? A lot of it depends on who and why they serve. If you're serving somebody that you don't like or that is asking you to do things that you don't want to do, if you're serving just because you feel you have to, because it's part of your job, because they've got some kind of control over you, I can see why you wouldn't want to be a servant. Depends on what the outcome of the service is too. If after you help somebody out, you realize that the world is a less good place than it was before because you helped somebody do something unethical, something destructive, maybe even something wrong, of course you wouldn't want to be a servant or be of service there. If you're somehow under the impression that those who serve are forgotten, that they have no impact, but you want to be remembered, well, if that's your orientation, I can see why you wouldn't want to be a servant either. And if the people that you look up to, the people that you want to emulate, are those who don't do service, who are those who command service rather than anything else, then yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want to be a servant. The only problem with all of these things is that none of them are what Jesus is talking about, really. If you're wondering about who and why you serve and what the outcome of the service is, I can assure you that the outcome of being a servant in the way that Jesus talks about in this passage and in all other passages where he ever talks about it, the outcomes are good. They might not be flashy. You might not even be able to put them on your resume. It's quite possible that very few people or maybe even no one will know what you've done. But what you've done is of value. And if you want to be somebody who's remembered, who's looked back on in 100 years, well, one of the interesting things about my own life path is that a lot of it's wrapped up in history. For a long time, I thought I'd be a professional historian before I realized that there's no such thing as a professional historian. You can teach history and a bunch of other things, but you know, nobody pays you just to read history, which is too bad, because there's a dream job if I've ever heard one. But one of the things that's fascinating is that when you read history, and it doesn't matter where, whether it's, you know, our own country or other countries or thousands of years ago or just hundreds of years ago, you will consistently run into people, and I've done it over and over again. I've run across historical figures who were incredibly influential, were wealthy and well-regarded, and you would have heard of none of their names. They're completely forgotten. Because most people are completely forgotten. But think of some of the people that we do remember, that we all remember. And when I think of human beings that have made a big difference, you know, some of the first ones that pop up were, well, Martin Luther King Jr. And even Martin Luther King Sr., his father. Or his namesake, Martin Luther himself. Or Sanford Fleming, the discoverer of penicillin. Or lots of these other people that we're all familiar with. Some in our lifetimes, like Mother Teresa. Others hundreds of years ago, like St. Francis. We all know who these people are. You know what characterizes all of them? A deep devotion to service. To being willing to do whatever it takes to make the world better for other people, even at the expense of themselves. Fleming's one of the most interesting examples of all. Do you know how much the patent on penicillin would have been worth? Hundreds of millions of dollars, back when hundreds of millions of dollars was much more than it is now. And he said, I can't do that. This is going to be of use to millions of people. Here, it's free. I don't think Mother Teresa set out to be well regarded, and yeah, you can read books that talk about how she wasn't as wonderful as everybody seems to think she was or anything else. The fact remains, we know who she is. Do you think when she was young, she said, you know, I want to be well regarded by everybody? No, I don't think so at all. Do you think St. Francis, when he turned his back on a life of wealth and privilege, which he was born into and obviously eminently qualified to fulfill, do you think he did that so we'd be talking about him hundreds of years later? No, he did it because he saw poverty that needed to be addressed. And he said, I can do something about this, and I'm going to go do something about it. And when people said, well, but nobody will ever care about that, he said, I don't care about that part of it. This is something that needs to be done. I need to serve. If there's ever been a person on the face of the earth who could make a case for saying, I shouldn't have to serve, I think it's Jesus. Through the mystery of the Incarnation, fully divine while being fully human, if there is anybody who could ever say, I shouldn't have to serve people, I think it was him. The rest of us, the case that we make for not serving people eventually comes down to, I don't want to, I'm too selfish. It's really what it comes down to, virtually all of the time. That I shouldn't have to do that just because. Jesus could say, I shouldn't have to do that because I created all this stuff. I shouldn't have to serve anything or anyone because they're mine. And yet Jesus said, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. One of the things that occasionally gets in the way of our desire to serve is our inability to find good role models for service. Because what is our news filled with? And our news feeds on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, wherever else you get your interaction with the world, television, newspaper, radio. At the moment it's filled with politicians. The call to politics is a noble one. I don't want to, for a second, for anyone to think otherwise. But often, people get into politics from a deep desire to run things and be looked up to. And if those are the kind of people we're trying to emulate, then it's going to be very difficult for us to enter into a true life of service. Or perhaps we take as our role models the captains of industry who write books about how to be successful. Perhaps we even look up to athletes and say, I'd like to be like them. If our role models are fundamentally flawed, it shouldn't surprise us that when we try to be like them, we have similar flaws. You all know where I'm going with this. Because we do have a role model that we can follow that isn't fundamentally flawed, because our role model for service is Jesus. Every time we think, I should serve, but I might be kind of, I might look undignified if I do that. If I do that, if I help that person, someone will see me with them and they'll think that I'm maybe more like them than I want to be thought. Every time Jesus hung out with the created, somebody might have thought he wasn't the creator. And yet he served anyway. Every time Jesus allowed his humanity and the limits on his divinity for him to be hungry, to be sad, to be worried, to be tired, every time he did that, he could have done something else, but he served instead. We can't be Jesus. That's obvious. None of us is divine at all, let alone wholly divine, while being wholly human. We're just human, which is a wonderful thing. But we can emulate Jesus. We can step past our dignity, past our concern about our reputation, past our worries about finances or anything else, to serve people. And when we do that, we're like Jesus. Because when it comes right down to it, we do want to be servants. But we want to be the right kind of servants. We want to be the kind of people that when we serve others, it makes a difference to them and makes a difference to the world. And the great thing is that when we do that, it makes a difference in us as well. It's easy for us to skip over this part about whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Let's not lose sight of the fact that being of service and being a servant doesn't mean that you're condemned to that forever. Being of service is what turns us into the people we were created to be, and what could be better and greater than that? We were all created to be a particular kind of person, and the fallenness of the world has gotten in the way of that, and our own inabilities to get past our own desires, sinful or otherwise, has interfered with that too. But I think all of us have this deep desire in us somewhere to become who we were meant to be, and we know that we're not there yet. Sometimes we know exactly what's getting in the way, but often we don't. Jesus says the way to move forward is through service. It's through being open to the opportunity to serve other people, whether you get great accolades for that or not. There's nothing wrong with accolades. There's nothing wrong with people going, "Thank you for what you've done." Some of our service is completely anonymous. The little things we do, like paying for the person behind you in the drive-through line at Tim Hortons, might not have a huge impact, but who knows? It's an act of service. And it's a wonderful thing to do that we can just do now and then. Some of our service is more obvious, and there's nothing wrong with that either. The fact remains that it's through service that we become the people that we were created to be. It's through service that we achieve the greatness that we all want, where it really matters in the eyes of God. Every day, I hope that what I do makes me more like Jesus rather than less like Jesus. And the older I get, the longer I'm in this relationship with God through Jesus, the more I understand how far away from that I am. Paradoxically enough, the more hope I have that through service I might actually become closer. And when I look at my life through some kind of objective measure, I see that I am closer. I am much more like Jesus now than I was when I first thought I'd done God a favor by moving into this relationship with Him. Oh, I've got a long way to go yet. But every time the nudge of the Spirit says, "Help that person, do that thing," and I say, "Yes, I just will." Not because of what I'm going to get out of it, but because I'm responding to the Spirit's nudging me towards what needs to be done to be the person I need to be, I become more the person I need to be. Will I ever be named as great in the kingdom? I don't know. And I'm considerably less concerned about that now than I was when I was younger. But I have found that the things that matter, the things I look back to that warm my spirit years after they've happened, they're very seldom things that were all about me. When I'm feeling that I need something to remind myself that, yeah, I'm not just a waste of space, when I think of, or when I try to think of, what is it that gives some kind of demonstration to the fact that I am actually growing in Christianity instead of growing backwards, the things that come to mind are the times I helped, the times I served, the times I allowed my gifts to be used for someone else. Those are the things that I find myself smiling quietly away all by myself. And if anybody ever asks, I don't even know if I could explain some of them. Just those times when we were together and the presence of God was there, and I was given that great gift of perhaps a word of encouragement that's beyond just the human kind of thing. What a wonderful thing that is, to be of service to each other. I want to be a servant. I really do. I didn't think I'd ever say that when I was younger. Servants were butlers. Slaves were people in chains. But now I realize that when I want to be a servant, when I look at the people around me not from the perspective that says, what can I get from them? What can they do for me? But rather, is there anything I can do for them? I'm just a better person. I'm a happier person. I'm closer to who I was created to be, which is a person of service. And that's just good. The only people who don't want to be a servant are those who don't understand what it means to be a true servant. We do. Because we've been given the best example that we could ever be given. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Amen.